Hey, Julie.
Hey, Julie.
Welcome to Hey, Julie, a.k.a. Hey, Jeff, a.k.a. Hey, Julie, a podcast about Big Brother and Survivor now. Danielle, how are you handling two top CBS reality shows at the same time?
I think I'm taking it all in stride. I think I'm doing a great job. It's a lot. It's a lot of commitment, even though I don't think... Is Big Brother still on Wednesdays?
Is Big Brother still on? Question mark? No, it's not. They've officially been bumped to Tuesdays.
Good.
Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday is our remaining schedule. This is
you heard it here first. If you're a casual like us.
Yeah.
You just wondered, hey, what happened to Wednesday episodes? And now you can know it is on there on Tuesdays. I need to start this episode out with a huge hashtag Danny was right. Huge Danny was right over Julie Chen Moonves' hair.
Was I not correct? Yes.
That was a wig that she tore off the second she left the stage last week. Not this past Thursday, the Thursday before. Because this Thursday, guess what's back? Her normal
hair.
Yes. Like, this is so Kardashians. That, like, they said their strategy, whenever they get, like, a nip tuck or some sort of cosmetic injection or facial or facelift, whatever, they change their hair so that everyone's talking about their hair and won't notice the little cosmetic procedure they had done. I don't think she got a cosmetic procedure. I think she's trying to take away from the attention, the negative attention she was getting from her book tour. And I'm so right.
Do you think maybe it was trying to take away from the negative attention of doing a double eviction and sending nobody home? This feels maybe like the first time in literal months that anyone has left the game of Big Brother.
Thank the Lord. It finally happened in this show. Someone went home.
When did Izzy get evicted?
Right? And Hysom. I'll always remember Hysom. Remember the Titans? Remember the Hysom. I really miss her presence is so dearly missed. I think I'm usually pretty good about being like, whatever, they're gone, who cares? Like, move on. But this show hasn't moved on. So it's hard to not be like, wow, this house sucks. Everyone in here is bad. Like, there's no one really, I'm not rooting for anyone anymore.
We also just, like, don't have any more, like, hashtag team feeds people left. Like,
right.
Who are the fun feeds people left in the house?
Like, I don't really want to watch America and Corey make out.
No, gross.
Like any showmance, it's all about the buildup. And then once they finally start slurping, it's enough. That's enough for me. Like, sure, go ahead, enjoy, do it in the privacy of the Big Brother house under the covers, but like, I'm not...
Do it in the privacy of leaving the show.
Yeah, I'm not interested. I don't need to watch that. I don't need to watch Suri. I still like Felicia, actually. I think Felicia would probably be a pretty satisfying winner, but like, I don't think there's anyone else. I mean, Cam, I guess, is an underdog, but he's so he's so grating.
Yeah, he's... As like a character on the show... who is moving through the events of it and is always on the outs, always the underdog, always, not aligning with the rest of the people. That itself is interesting, but him as a person, like in the kind of voyeur aspect of Big Brother, is not. He's like quite unbearable person.
Yeah, no.
And he also, like, you don't know what he's doing because he doesn't have any true trusted allies. So like, even though... we can get into spoilers, or like, even though he's involved in like the machinations of this upcoming week that we have yet to see on television, he doesn't tell anyone what his plan is going to be, or like he does, but it's hard to know it because he doesn't talk to the cameras and he doesn't really have many close confidants in a way that if Jared and Suri, one of them were HOH, they would talk to each other and we would know, oh, I'm nominating this person, but I'm actually going to backdoor that person. Cameron doesn't tell anyone any of that information, so there's no way even watching the feeds to know.
I was thinking to myself, this cast is kind of unsatisfying. First of all, because Jag shouldn't be there, Cameron shouldn't be there, Jared shouldn't be there. Like, it's full of people who have already been voted out and should not be there. But also, I'm thinking of the rest of the people. I'm like, I wouldn't trust any of these people. I wouldn't trust Suri, Felish, Corey in America, Jack, Blue, Matt. Like, I don't know. None of them are that satisfying to root for or be really interested in, because also none of them are that good or show any, I don't know, any ingenuity at all. They're all kind of just there.
Yeah, the show is like interesting because it's like, well, it's just now not guaranteed that Saria is going to win. So at least there's like some, it's more interesting than it was a month ago in that respect. But also, I don't know, I'm with you. Like, yeah, it's like not a lot of interesting people. And we still have another full month left of this show. It's October 1st, America.
Rent's
due. The pumpkins are out. The spice is out.
Yeah.
Not the spice from Dune. Dune has been pushed to 2024.
I heard.
Oh, I know, so sad.
But Wonka's still coming out. Wonka,
his voice is like an angel.
I will say, oh my God. So I texted Brett. I hate this fucking show. Or maybe I said I fucking hate this show. I don't remember.
I can pull it up. But you did so at here we go, Danielle.
Because I try not to text Brett too much because Brett doesn't like spoilies, whereas I love spoilers and I don't care, but I try to be respectful of that. So I don't give a lot of details. And I think it's not spoilerish for me to just give my overall opinion.
You texted me at 6:38 p.m. Pacific time on Thursday evening.
So, yeah.
Meaning 9:38, meaning in the middle of the live show. And you texted me that. And first of all, I started laughing so hard. I was in my car. And then I was like, Cameron must have lost the comp. The competition must have been so incredibly hard. I was like imagining for the next 3 hours that basically the BB producers had two competitions like ready to go for the buyback, battle back, zombie back competition. And one was going to be like, build a two, like easier than the Caitlyn Lego puzzle,
right.
Like a super easy one. And then the one would have been like, do something that only like an advanced rocket, like scientist can do while like running a marathon and do it in 45 seconds. And it's like something like basically something that if Cameron said he wanted to do it, they would make him do the hard one. And if Cameron said he didn't want to do it, then they would make Jared do the easy one. Like yeah. They would have fixed it in both ways to make Jared come back. And absolutely. I was like, oh my God. I was like, I was kind of actually upset for the next like 3 hours. Thank you, Danielle.
That's I aim to please.
I was like, oh my God, I can't believe they fucking let Jared back into this fucking game for the 100th time. Nobody likes him. You know, and then I was like, actually, I came around on it. I was like, actually, maybe Big Brother, like CBS knows that he is like a true villain. I mean, he was even more hated than Cameron, who is not a popular player either. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is like them just trying to keep it spicy by keeping a villain in the house. But what did you mean by that text message?
What I meant I was is wrong. Like, as I was watching the show, so we spend up to that point, it was like 40 minutes of them doing this ball competition. Okay. Like that was the whole competition. So much weight was put on this competition.
I wanted to go back because there must have been 7 different occurrences in this episode alone, which was not the first episode that the ball competition was in. It started in the previous episode. There must have been 7 different instances of someone saying, okay, so I have to walk across the seesaw and put the balls in the shovel. And if they come out, then I have to start again. And then Corey says, okay, so in this competition, Cameron and Jared are walking across the seesaw and putting the ball. We get it.
We know.
Danielle, your 18-month-old daughter gets it. She understands ball. She understands seesaw. We all fucking get it. Come on.
I mean, it was just, it's not an interesting comp to watch. Certainly not an interesting comp to watch for 40 minutes. And then the fact, and also there was no suspension of disbelief or whatever. I don't know. There's no suspense because like, clearly, Cameron was so much better at this than Jared. Jared's balls kept dropping. So like, and it was no Saria's surprise. Like,
Jared, you got to slow down. And he's just like stomping up and down, just bouncing them off.
I mean, so there was no suspense. We knew Cameron was going to win. But then when it was revealed, maybe everyone knew this except me. I didn't realize like that was just one part. And it was like, Cameron, you received the most incredible advantage by winning this in that you get to make a decision Thursday night about playing another pointless comp. I couldn't believe that. I found that so incredibly annoying. So annoying. Like it felt so transparent that, yeah, they wanted Jared back in the game. And like, if Jared had won, it would have just been like, all right, and Cameron, you have to like eat this doo-doo pie on your way out, like something else. Something's like, there was just no way. It was so frustrating as a viewer. And as I was watching it, I was like, I can't believe I watched this fucking show. And I have something else to bring up, but I'll bring it up after we talk, or maybe before we talk about Survivor. But it's like, this show is just so stupid. These people... And when I say these people, I mean the people who are producing this show, in addition to the cast, are so stupid. Like, they do not value me and my intelligence and my time as a viewer. So it was very frustrating.
There was really nothing happening this week. Like, I don't think we do need to... I can't find it now. One of our listeners sent in a comment how, like, this episode of the podcast is going to be, like, 4 minutes about Big Brother and then 75 minutes about Survivor.
We got
I can't
a little find
it. Whoever wrote it.
We did a little longer.
We did. But, like, nothing happened, really. Like...
There's nothing going on in this house. I'm issuing a challenge right now. This is the Hey Julie challenge. I'm taking us back. Remember when challenges are the whole thing? The Hey Julie challenge is...
Oh, like the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah, exactly. Find me one interesting thing that's going on inside the house. Actually interesting. And I will be the judge of whether it's interesting or not. And I will Venmo you for a pumpkin spice latte. If you actually can find this, because I challenge you, there's no way it exists, period.
I mean, who cares anymore? But like Felicia and Suri and Jared kind of had a fight last week right after the double eviction.
Oh,
interesting
no.
to see. I mean, they're... As always, like the Sunday after the double eviction is always interesting because they show all the stuff that happened in the commercials that they didn't show. Yeah. Like,
hey, oh, yeah.
Do you ever see this on television where they're like, this episode of Grey's Anatomy is presented without commercial interruption. Thank you to Chrysler. And they play like a 4 minute Chrysler ad and then they don't do commercials. They should do that on the double eviction. They should be like, you know what?
They should.
Double eviction, we're going live feed the entire time, but we are going to make you watch a 15-minute promo for Buddy Games.
Honestly, yes.
Columbo starring Kathy Bates. But then, no more commercials the rest of the episode.
Okay, two things about those references. One, the people have not asked, but Brett and I will deliver. We will be doing a Columbo episode of Hey Julie at some point.
Like after Survivor's over.
Yeah, don't worry. We're not going to get in the way of precious Hey Jeff.
January,
and then,
yeah.
Buddy Games. Someone said that they liked Buddy Games and they wanted us to watch it. I don't know if it was in our Discord or on Twitter.
Like one of our fans?
Yes. Oh, okay. An actual listener.
Okay. Because you were like someone. I was like, oh, yeah. It is possible that one person in America likes Buddy Games. I wouldn't put the number above five, but.
I want to read. Is this from last week? No, 28th. From Kojo Bo. Did anyone else forget Big Brother was still a show this week? Yes. I asked the listeners. I had to ask, what time is the episode on tonight? Because I didn't... They keep changing it.
Well, what day was that? Was it even on a day that Big Brother was on?
It's on the 28th. So that's Thursday, wasn't it?
Oh, Thursday. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's on 8. No. It's on 9 on Thursdays, 8, and then 8 on Sundays and
but it went to 8
Tuesdays?
For a minute. For a minute, it was 8 on Thursdays, and it was glorious.
Not if
it's not too late.
Yeah. And then you have football going on now, too, on CBS. And now it's like, CBS will be shown immediately after this game, except on the West Coast, when it will air at its normal time. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. There was a part where Jared was pleading with like everybody to try and get their votes. And he's like, I have four votes to say or whatever. And he's like, Bowie, I please need you to vote for me. And she's like, yeah, well,
Bowie's still there.
I've got to return some videotapes.
I forgot. I was naming all the people who are boring. Bowie Jane is still in the house. Mimi is still in the house. I forgot the ghost, all these people.
The ghost. It's spooky season. The ghost Mimi is haunting. Nobody knows she's there. She's in every room. She's giving light encouragement and then walking into another room and being like, motherfucker, I hate these people.
I mean, I think it's actually it's a slay that she is still there, that she hasn't given up yet, I would say.
Other stupid stuff.
I would have put her as a self-evict, honestly.
We'll get to self-evictions a little bit later in the episode. Do you think it's funny that America, the nation, the viewing public, calls America Corey, AmeriCorey, but the house guests call them Comerica? Like, they don't know that we're calling them AmeriCorey, and they're referring to, like, their Bennifer.
Right. Yes.
Coupling
it's a little
word.
Bit funny, this feeling inside.
I'm not one of those who can easily hide. Okay, fantastic. Moving on. Well, just, you know, they're locked away. They don't know.
Okay. Yeah, they don't
know. Let's talk about Survivor.
They don't know lots of stuff. They don't know that New York City flooded this weekend. And there's like feet and feet of water in New York City. And the whole world is going to shit because of climate change. And no one wants to do anything about it.
Oh, my God.
They don't know that in the Big Brother house.
Yeah, I mean, well, it rained yesterday in L.A., so they know. They know. They've seen the worst of it. It rained for about one 45-minute period. Okay, so, yeah, I mean, Big Brother, like, we had a double eviction, and, like, we were...
It didn't matter.
It didn't matter because still one of those people is in the house. Like, it's going to take, like, 3 weeks to actually get to the amount of people that we were going to have at the end of the double eviction a week ago. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of bored. We'll see. I think Matt's going to win at this point. Matt is going to be the disabled winner of Big Brother.
You have said this. Brett has said this. So if this happens, Brett is right. Okay. By the way,
justice for Eddie. Let me just tell you that. Justice for Eddie.
306 is the person in our Discord who said, I can't wait for this pod to be 58 minutes of Survivor Hot Takes and 2 minutes of And Then Jared Went Home Again. Literally nothing happened on BB this week. Right, Twin Star Phil.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. So I think we should just get to Survivor, but I need to bring up a different show.
I have a movie review as well.
Oh yeah. And I think I want to hear this movie review.
Yeah. Okay.
Or actually, there are two movies that I want to hear about. But
do we need to do Big Brother spoilers?
Oh, yeah. Let's do spoilers. Cameron won HOH. And he nominated Felish. And
Mecole.
Mecole.
Yeah, I think like...
But he's thinking he's like going to backdoor Corey.
Oh, are we? I don't know. I haven't read anything. Okay.
Yeah, that's the plan right now. He wants... Which is smart. Like, break up the showmans, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Corey's like a good, he's competition. Saria slid in the background. Everyone forgot about her.
Well, there has been a lot of like get out Felicia rumblings this week as well. Like everyone kind of sees her as just a really good social player and stuff.
Absolutely. Do you think if it's her and Matt at the end, Matt would win? I think Felicia would win.
I really don't know. I think it would be quite close.
Yeah.
It depends, it depends who's in the jury. We know who's in the jury, basically. But, like, I think it depends who's there. I mean, it's going to be hard if it's, like, the two of them. I mean, it's going to be hard if it's, like, if Matt has a bunch of competition wins, which he already does have, and I would imagine he'll have more of by the time he gets to the end.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to be grading in a way where he's like, well, I won three vetoes and I won the secret competition, this or that. And Felicia won't really have won anything, though. I mean, she won one HOH, so
yeah.
Maybe she wins another one. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Corey or Felicia this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a little bit of a bummer because at least Felicia has a personality. I would not want to see I would want to see Mimi go over her. And I like Mimi, but she does. Yeah, she's a ghost. She does nothing.
The ghost is staying in the house. It's spooky season, everybody.
It is October 1st. It really is. Scarkle in the chat says, Cam says, Felicia, I don't want you in jury, but also I'm going to use the veto on you. Is that what's going on? So
yeah, did he actually, I haven't read anything. No, tomorrow's
veto.
Bit.
Okay. So he hasn't used it yet. It sounds like Cam won veto. Don't you love our BB podcast?
Like, so good, veto? Yeah.
But so Cam won veto. Sounds like he's going to backdoor Corey. Maybe he'll use it on Felicia. Great. I think that would actually be a little bit exciting. So that
does he even have the votes to backdoor Corey? I guess he would have the votes to backdoor Corey.
Yeah.
So I think everyone kind of recognizes that they would have Corey out.
Yeah, it's the smart move for everyone. Take the shot against him. Like, who cares? Him against Mimi on the block? Come on. Evict Corey, clearly. Okay, I need to discuss before we get into Survivor. Let me just set the scene.
Let's take a little break. A little slice of ginger.
There is
the next piece of sushi.
There is a cleanse the palate. There is this show currently on Netflix in Canada. I believe it airs on the History Network in America. It's called Alone. Have you ever heard of this show, Brett?
I think I know some people who are like Alone heads. It's like Survivor without the people.
It's like it's like the not glamorous version of Survivor. Like, yeah. It is people, these survivalist people. I don't know how they find this many survivalists who are willing to do this, but like they pluck these people up and drop them in the northern Alaska or something, like very northern Canada, very cold, barren places with no civility for miles and miles. And they're just alone. They have to build their own little tents out of moss and twigs, and they have to make their own fire every night. They have to find food, and the food they have to find, like, they have to go stab a moose if they want to eat. Like, it is, they have to do these wellness checks because they lose so much weight. Like, this is actually so much more serious and intense than Survivor. Obviously, yeah. I watched an entire season of it, and it's like, I'd say 80% of the people have to go home because of medical reasons, because they are just like getting parasites and it's not healthy for them to be there. Like, I can't believe they can do this show. That's probably why people watch the show so much, because you're like, how are they allowed to make people do this? And it's a little sad. There's definitely like a tinge of Hunger Games to it, where you're like, wow, I'm watching people do this because they're so desperate to win money, right? Like, they're literally putting their bodies in harm's way to win this money. Because this isn't a glam show like Survivor. You're not in teams. You're not on CBS. You're on the History Network, honey. Like, no one is checking for this.
Yeah, you're like getting like a dad or a grandpa waking up from like a World War II documentary and being like, what is this?
Yes, genuinely.
I was watching a documentary about Winston Churchill.
But so this, now it's over. Now these people are stuck in the woods. But this has colored my perception of Survivor now. So I just need to say that.
Oh, it's
Survivor,
a good intro. There you go.
Is so glamorous and easy.
Not to some people.
I know. And that's what made it even crazier watching this episode. I'm like, the people on Alone, literally, you see them over a period of 24 hours have like intense, intense parasitic like food poisoning. And they still don't want to go home because they're alone in the woods with no one to help them. Like, there's not even a crew there, Brett. They have to set up their own cameras. Like, yes.
Yeah.
So I just couldn't believe what I was seeing on Survivor. Let me just say, I couldn't believe it.
This episode of Survivor was strange.
Was it like pointing a mirror at society?
What makes us human? Could you be more human if you were a robot?
Or a dancer.
Or a survivor. I don't know. I kind of like this season so far.
No, I like it too.
I find it like just in there's like a very chaotic energy, like with the show. The people are like all a little bit like crazy this year. The women
feel a little not ready for
this
TV
year.
Which I like.
Yeah. They're a little bit raw. The women are all like incredible this year. Like, every single woman's like an amazing character this year. And I like, like Jeff is like, Jeff didn't even, I told you, like Jeff didn't even really have to do much. Like we didn't even get like classic Jeffisms because he's just like barely in it because everyone's like so freaking crazy this year. And I'm all about it. Okay. I also have to admit, like I'm like really struggling with like how many people are on this show, how many people are still on Big Brother. I kind of only have room in my mind for about 16 reality show contestants at a single time. And now that I have like 34 in my brain, I can't remember. I'm still learning the people's names on Survivor. I apologize. Like the next few weeks, I'm going to be like saying like, oh yeah, the girl with the red bandana on. Like yeah, I'm not going to be saying it.
Pull it up. I can't.
I have the Survivor wiki.com.
I can't use that because it kills my computer.
We got to find another one. Yeah.
Let me just throw it to a comment from Scarkle. Whoever cast Emily needs a raise. Agreed. Agreed. Hard agree.
Emily. What a character. Let's just start there. Emily, what a character.
From the very moment
she has many she has many opinions. She doesn't really like anyone or how anyone does anything, and she's not afraid to share that. And it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
I mean, her confessional, I'm pretty sure she was like, if I don't win, this is a waste of my time. She was like, and I just loved her lower third is like financial administrative assistant or something. It was something where I was like, oh my gosh, a finance bro girl who like has this kind of attitude. How old is she? She's like 25 or something. Is she 25 even? I don't know. Whatever age she is, she just has like a young.
She's 28.
Oh, okay. She has a much younger vibe. In that, by that, I mean, she doesn't realize, like, maybe keep some things to yourself.
Something about her is, like, very young, but also very old. She has very, like, old Karen energy. Like, someone who's going to, like, yell at, like, the cashier at Costco about something for, like, 30 minutes. Yes. But also, like, in a young person's body. I mean, I can't. Emily, I got to admit, I got to believe that Emily in her investment office or whatever is like sending all staff emails like, please only put toilet paper in the toilet. Do not put other products in the toilet.
Right.
Which I am like, watching.
Yeah. That's a fair email to send, I guess.
But don't. That's not your job. That's not your job.
We got to wait. Let me pull up. So we also have a returnee this season.
Kind of.
I know, that was the thing. So we were watching it and my husband was like, is Bruce like a fan favorite? I was like, no, he was on one episode. And there he was like, well, why is he speaking with such authority? He
concussed like 45 minutes into the last season. And the doctors were like, he's fine. And then 12 hours later, the doctors are like, this man needs to go to a hospital.
And that was it. He's back for some reason.
Oh, sorry. What are you going to say?
I'm just going to he is wearing not even business casual, straight up business suit.
Business.
To the island.
Business uncasual.
Yeah. Why? We got to comment on that. I'm sorry. I'm trying to find it. But someone asked about that. Why would you wear that? We have had people in the past wear like blazers. It's like their thing. I don't know.
Let me, I'm trying to remember this. I'm not going to remember for what the names of the tribes or anything. Right. I think when he arrived, he was wearing the same clothes that he was wearing the previous season. I think he was wearing an approximation of what he was wearing the first day of Survivor 44 to be like, hey, look at me. It's Bruce in the Bruce costume that everyone knows. Everyone knows, you know, right. Like Homer Simpson wears the white shirt and the blue pants. Simpson wears the green dress. Bruce wears black slacks and a purple button-up collared shirt. I think he was wearing that.
To remind people.
And then he changed into his team-specific color.
Right.
Later. He changed into more casual, bluer options later. I saw a TikTok. Can I explain something? Can I mansplain for like fucking 45 minutes?
Yeah.
I saw a TikTok with a former contestant. I forgot who it was, of Survivor, who was explaining what clothes they wear and how it is decided what outfit they're wearing on Survivor. And I guess they're cast months in advance. And they go through a full like costume design process where they, the producers know the colors in advance, but they don't know who's on what team. So they make them all submit like, hey, I need you to submit an outfit if you're on the blue tribe. I need you to submit an outfit if you're on the yellow tribe. I need you to submit an outfit if you're on the green tribe. And they go back and forth with the producers until it's settled. And then they literally send those clothes in a box to the producers. And then like the day that Survivor starts, the producers hand them a box and they're like, you're on the blue. Here's your blue stuff. We're going to mail you your red and green stuff back home or whatever. So they don't know what tribe, what color tribe they're on, but they have sent off clothes that like, you know, don't have logos on them, you know, or whatever, you know, approved for the show in all the various colors. And they sort of just get them when they show up and they're like, oh, cool. This is my shirt for my and shorts from 6 months ago. Right. So I think that's what I think that happened in two occasions with Bruce. I think they made him wear his like Survivor 44 garb to be like, hey, remember Bruce? Last year when poor Bruce smashed his head open on live television, not live, I was like, poor guy, he needs another shot. Because we kind of liked him in the pregame. And he's back for like 2 minutes. And I'm like, we could have just cast somebody else. Like this guy's kind of...
I knew he was the returnee, but I didn't remember him whatsoever. I know he got hurt. There was nothing about his personality or anything that I really remembered. I mean, he's like an older man. So obviously, Danny like. Daddy. But, Daddy, yeah. But other than that, I really couldn't recall. And I just did think it was funny. He was speaking with such authority. Like
that was great. Where he's like, I'm just cool, Uncle Bruce. I'm not here I know I'm a returner, but like returning from what? I was barely here. I was here for 12 hours. I'm already past where I made it to the last time. I know just as much as you guys. And then he's like, no, you don't want to fold the pom-poms. Yeah. No, the way the sand is sitting right now, a storm's a brewing right now. Oh yeah, this fire is a brush fire. I don't know. Like that was great.
It was good.
Instantly, I was like, Bruce is a returner with like even worse knowledge of how to play Survivor than the newbies.
Yeah. That was like the first part of conflict, right? Was Emily was saying like what did she say about him? Was she like, he doesn't deserve to be here? I don't think
she's on the same team as him.
No. It wasn't. It was before they it was when they were on the boat with Jeff.
That was great.
Yeah.
That was great. She was like, fuck returners. This guy's already gaming.
That shit. Yeah.
Everyone on that team better watch out for him. Yeah. I'm going to vote his ass out the first moment I get.
I loved that.
I was like, yes, girl. I loved her because she says that stuff, which was like fire. And I wrote down too, the first thing she says, her first like diary room or whatever we call it. She's like, if I don't win, I want to be voted off. And I was like, me too, girl. Me too, girl was my feeling this entire episode. Cause we'll get to Hannah as well.
Right.
Anytime Hannah's like, I want to go to sleep. I want to have French fries. I'm like, me too, girl.
Yeah. We relate. Unfortunately, too relatable. Relatable for us here. But she, I also did kind of like how Bruce tried to be like, oh, well, I was only here for one day. And she was like, look how he's trying to mansplain and gaslight me. Like, I mean, you gotta love it. It's good TV. You gotta love it. You gotta cherish her while she's here, folks. Because she will not be here for long.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of people like in the comments and stuff being like, you guys must love Emily. Yeah, obviously. Of course.
Yeah.
She's an iconic villain after one episode.
Already,
and yeah. I said she's not making it to jury. I misspoke because I was still like in Big Brother mode when I responded to this tweet. She's not making it to merge. Like, that's not happening. Like, if there were an actual vote, last night on Survivor or this week on Survivor, which there wasn't, she would have gone home. She would have been sent home that first day if it weren't for Hannah, who's just like, you know what? I kind of was here for the free flight.
Yeah, and now that I'm in Fiji. Yeah. Wait, okay. So yellow team, that's Lulu, right?
It's not Reba.
Yeah, Reba's red. And blue, I don't know what they're called.
The tribes this year, their Lulu is yellow, Reba is red, and Bello is blue.
Okay.
They're not even trying.
No, but that's good. That's for people like me.
They're not even trying this year.
Okay. So Lulu, someone on the team calls themselves, maybe it was Hannah, like Lulu losers. And yes, my thoughts exactly. I felt so bad for the people on that team who were not. What's the long-haired guy's name? I forget his name already.
Brandon
was the, I mean, I honestly was like, I'm feeling bad for his parents because like he was a broken man and it was sad to watch. And I just know everyone across the world was looking at this guy being like, what a fucking loser.
Beta.
And it made me feel a little sad for him, honestly.
I know, I did. And I was like feeling sad for myself too. I was like, do I act like this in real life? Cause he's just like, he's like very doughy. Hi. He's like a content producer. I'm like, oh God, hi. Like, is this also, I know how Brandon's performance on this episode of Survivor is exactly why I would not go on Survivor. I know I physically cannot go like 6 hours without eating. I really couldn't. He is going to pass out every single competition. I know I physically would. There are days where like I work out or something like that. And I'm like, I need to do what Brandon, I need to like lie on the floor. And I'm like, oh, I probably didn't eat big enough breakfast today. Like, I know that this is like my body composition and I would never go on that show as a result because they do not eat food.
And no, they don't. But this was day one.
Brett, this is day one. I know.
He still has a tummy full of Fruit Loops from the hotel buffet.
Yeah. A tummy full of acid. It was like very confronting watching him because I was like, oh my God, am I watching what it would be like if I were on Survivor? Because I think this is exactly how I would have been if I were on that show. So I was confronted.
What was tough about him was like, so he flops majorly in that first competition and so badly. We're truly, myself and my husband were getting a little mad where we're like, get the fuck up. Get up that ladder. Don't just lie in the water. Why is he just lying in the water? Like, what is wrong with this person?
It's not that hard.
Yeah, it wasn't. That was the thing, too. It was the first day, first comp. It didn't seem that hard to just get up onto the ladder, but he could not do it. That other guy had to come help him. That other guy hates the fact that he's on this team. I mean, he's got to hate.
That team is full of losers.
Yeah, I mean, and that guy's not a loser.
Caleb and Sabaya and Sean are like
normals.
Good, but like normals. But like Hannah, nothing. Yeah. Brandon, like literally like a weight. And Emily, she's more of a... Emily's more of a like, I'll instruct you guys on everything you're doing wrong about this competition, but I'm not.
She's Prickly Pete.
She's a leader. She's a leader.
She's such a leader. But like, but it was his entire attitude after that that I think would really probably got the audience against him because it was like truly watching Eeyore. His entire body, his hair was then for the rest of the episode in his face. Like you couldn't see his face anymore. And he just was hunched over, very Quasimodo, like not standing up straight. He was ashamed of himself. I was like, this is hard to watch. I don't know if I can watch this guy for that much longer. Like I was kind of hoping they'd get him out. But then he got beaten to the punch. I mean, and there were more competitions after. You were like, oh my God, how can I watch this guy compete? He didn't even do that badly in the next competition. He wasn't as bad. And it was still...
No, he was all right. I mean, he wasn't great.
It was just because now you know him as like... And he's got the long hair, so you can tell who he is. Let's go, Brandon. Like, yeah. Which someone did comment on in our Discord. It's just now everyone's just going to know him as like, oh, that loser on the Yellow Tribe. I mean,
and he wasn't even the biggest loser on the Yellow Tribe because
I know
Hannah was just like, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good. Like, I can't imagine, you know, like in a way she's 32. She's a therapist. She's in touch with her own emotions. She's like,
I mean,
she's like me. If I'm like at a party and I'm like, I can't talk to anybody anymore. I'm not going to stay. I'm just going to go.
Or like, well, That was the thing. I saw a lot of people being like, oh my God, she's a therapist and she's just giving up. I'm like, isn't that a good sign that she is recognizing what she needs in her life and she's acting upon it?
I don't know. The girl like 2 or 3 years ago who was a therapist but was like actively an evil person?
Right. I forget her name. There's too many seasons of Survivor. I don't know. I can't keep all these people straight.
Yeah. I mean, she wants to be on that couch. And honestly, same.
But people, we had actually a very lively discussion in our Discord about this because it was, you know, it's like a pretty intense, it riles people up. Let me just read. Twin Star Phil said, Survivor was a slay this week. BB, a major flop. Agreed. Ashley Rose said, someone quitting and taking up the spot of thousands who would have killed to play is not a slay in my eyes. And then we don't need to talk about BB. Moople said, quitting happens. It sucks, but it doesn't negate a fun episode, in my opinion. I'm glad she dipped right away so more fun characters could stay. Emily is the best actual villain archetype we've seen for a while. I tend to agree with Moople. Moople. In that, like, yeah, personally, I don't feel that badly for the thousands of people who applied because, like, you can apply again. It's not me. Like,
they didn't want you they didn't want you for another reason, you know?
Yeah. Like, Hannah didn't cast some of the show.
Some of you are never getting on Survivor.
Yeah. I hate to break it to you. Yeah. Hey, Julie, break it
to you. Don't got that punim. You don't got that punim for show business.
But so it doesn't bother me. I thought it was a great episode. We should all be grateful for entertainment is what we should be grateful for, especially when it's running concurrently with Big Brother, where there is zero entertainment this season. We should be happy that this episode came in hot and that there were, honestly, the biggest competition was between Brandon and Hannah over like, okay, who's going to solve it first?
Cry more.
Yeah, it's going to be more mad.
Also, like, this happened on the first episode. Like, yeah. It would have sucked if someone quit with like six people left. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That would have been frustrating. I don't know. We're good every year for like one medical. I think Brandon is going to be like a medical DQ from this game. I believe Brandon will quit this game as well.
Yeah, I think he will too. And I mean, it would be the best story for him if he like pulled himself up by the bootstraps and like, you know, tried to ingratiate himself with the tribe, tried really hard, maybe won a puzzle comp, like did something. I think there is like he set the scene for an incredible comeback story. I don't know if we're actually going to get there, but it would be like just based on his entire character at this point. And we're only in one episode in, but it would be a great comeback story.
And there have been seasons like that where in the first episode, there is someone who's like, I am afraid of the outdoors. I am like, and that person like grows and finds themselves and gains a bit of self awareness, yeah, gains a bit of confidence in their life, and they take that back home with them.
Yeah, that's a nice story.
There was a guy on like Gen X versus Millennial. I forget his name, but who the first episode you're like, this guy is gonna like get voted out of me. Like, he's horrible at everything. He's like physically afraid of like the bugs and nighttime and stuff. But he makes it very far into the game, and he kind of is playing that weakling. But eventually, he kind of comes into his own as a player. Like, he's definitely not the strongest competitor, but like he wins competitions. He's obviously a little bit more of a mental threat than other people. There's a chance that plays out for Brandon. There's also a very good chance Brandon is self-evicting on Wednesday night. I kind of see that.
I will just say also, in defense of casting the Hannahs and the Brandons, is like, you actually do want a little bit of diversity in terms of not everyone needs to be a super fit comp beast. Like, it's actually a little more interesting if they aren't all in the best shape ever. Like, I don't watch that show Tough as Nails or whatever it's called. Like, that's not what I'm trying to watch.
I watched an episode of that and it's like very weird. It's like very like America pilled, where it's like, small business owners run this country, put up this drywall to feed your kids. And you're like, it's like, what the fuck? It's like, it's very like a pickup truck commercial about values
family
and stuff.
Values.
And you're like, what the fuck? I just want to watch people fucking hit shit with a hammer. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. So We'll see. I mean, it was a great start to the season. So yeah, Hannah was like, please, I'm leaving. Like, that's how it ended. Which we love. We love. I have no issue with that. I thought it was great TV. I do think those other, you names them. I don't know their names. Those other people on Team Yellow are like, what the like, what team am I on? What show
Caleb
am I on?
Caleb and Sabaya. But they're great. I really want to see them go far.
Yeah,
I
mean, they're cool.
I kind of like everybody. I kind of like everybody this year. You know, I think, yeah, everyone. Sifu is like aiming up to be a little like sneaky villain as well. Like, he's kind of like not on the same page as anyone. He was the one who was like instantly searching for idols and like hiding in the bushes and trying to be Tony V. But like, Everyone was like clocking it instantly.
Yeah. Like, we actually watched this show.
Yeah.
But Twin Star Phil wants to know, which tribe would either of you join? The obvious answer is Reba for the name alone. Yeah. Well, I'm definitely not joining the Lulu loser tribe. The blue tribe is, I mean, blue.
I think I want to be on the blue tribe.
Blue low? Is that what they're called?
Bello. Oh, Bello. I don't want to be on the blue tribe. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to be on the blue tribe because they're winning.
Like, yeah. I want to be with them. They're winning.
And I want to be with Bruce. Survivor Superstar.
I like, there's like three very like strong women on there. Like, boss me around. Tell me, pick up firewood. Of course. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah.
We got a question from 306. With Heinz creating the ketchup and seemingly ranch condiment for Taylor Swift, what would be the official Hey Julie combo condiment? What would be our official combo condiment?
I love ketchup.
I like ketchup. So ketchup was one.
What about like... what about like orange chicken sauce?
Ew. Let's just say, what can we just say, like pepper, you know, pepper and
that's
ketchup.
Not a condiment. That's yes. That's a spice.
I love a peppery ketchup. Let's say pepper ketchup.
Ooh, okay. Pepper ketchup.
Brett, you saw a couple movies this week.
I saw one.
Well, didn't you go see a certain Stanley Kubrick film?
Oh, I saw multiple films. Yeah, I have seen many, many films since we recorded.
So I would love to hear your thoughts on first the ultimate bros movie, Barry Lyndon,
a movie about a dude being a bro.
Yeah.
Can you break it down
for the audience?
Yeah. So it's a 3-hour long fucking period film from the 70s about the like 1700s. So I saw Stanley Kubrick's Barry Lyndon last weekend. Yeah, a movie that I've always wanted to see and I never had seen. And, you know, this movie, famously, Stanley Kubrick lit naturally, did not use, like, stage lights. Famously, yeah. Like, there's a lot of candles in this movie because that's the only light source, isn't it? There's a lot of scenes of people playing poker. I guess they've had cards forever. Who knew?
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's a lot. And like, they did not have television in the 1700s.
What?
So all they do is just like light candles and play poker and like play or like whatever weird like English version of poker.
Right.
This movie's about a dude who's just like a himbo who just like fails his way up all the way to the top of English society. And then he fails his way all the way down.
What goes up must come down.
Kisses some people. It's like, it's just good. It's like, it's a bit slow. Like, I was glad I saw it in a theater because it was like a movie that I've been like, kind of, oh, should I rent this tonight? Like, am I going to be like on my fucking phone halfway through this? I probably would have been if I weren't in a theater. So I was glad I saw it in a theater. Projection, dark room, you know, Alamo Draft House. I got a big baked pretzel, you know, like,
beautiful.
What else do I need?
How wonderful. So,
That was a week ago, but I had a jolly old time seeing it. There was an intermission in the movie. You know, if you're into like film nerd kind of movies, there's some beautiful shots in this movie. And
bros love Barry Lyndon. This is just Stanley Kubrick
up to his thing. Like, I wouldn't call myself the biggest like Stanley Kubrick guy,
right?
But it's nice to have seen the movie. Like, we know I'm a PTA guy.
Sparkle in the chat says, my local art cinema is playing Barry Lyndon this Tuesday.
Go see Barry Lyndon, Sparkle. Sparkle, hit us with the fucking Barry Lyndon review next week. I swear we will be reading your feedback on just, the air. If it's really, about Barry Lyndon, we're reading it.
Yeah. Really quickly, Jen Ferreira said in the chat, I can't look at Cam without thinking how much he looks like Danny Masterson. Boo. And I still rooted my little heart out for him because I hated Jared that much. Sorry, Jen, I missed that when we were talking about Big Brother. But yeah, I feel the same way. He does look so much like Danny Masterson, who unfortunately is in the news for very unfortunate reasons. But now I think he's getting locked up.
He fortunately is in jail for the rest of his fucking life.
Yeah, exactly. Bye-bye. But I agree. He does look like him. And yes, that made it even harder to root for him. And yet we did, didn't we? And we continues in some way to do so for Cam, not Danny Masterson. The other movie you saw is actually a red hot new release.
Yeah. Not Stanley Kubrick related. Though it's a sci-fi film, and every sci-fi film owes a little bit to 2001: A Space Odyssey. I saw The Creator last night. Mm. Boy, did I like this movie. This movie is like genetic, much like the robots, built for Bready. I loved this movie. Loved this movie. It's kind of got like a lukewarmish on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know why. This movie, just like every detail of this movie, I was just like pumping my fist. I love a very hard sci-fi film with curse words, plenty of violence. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. Danielle, are you aware of the cast of this film? Are you aware of the cast beyond John David Washington of this film?
I'm not. Like, I've only just started hearing about this movie and now you went to see it. So I know it's red hot. People are talking about it. People are talking.
I'd say like the third lead of this movie, perhaps even like the third lead of this movie, is none other than an actress that you're familiar with, Danielle. Her name is Allison fucking Janney.
Oh.
And she's incredible in this movie. She plays like the evil war general who's like, okay, I gotta kill me all them robots. She's great. Where the hell has she been? Where has she been? She's been on Mom. Whatever. She's on Mom. CBS. Allison Janney as playing like the kind of gruff, like doesn't care for human life, doesn't care for, just cares about winning for her country, kind of like war general, colonel or whatever, who's like, I don't care, you got to get the mission done. Fucking incredible. Okay. What I was high on like the fact that Allison Janney was like in this like heady sci-fi R-rated action sci-fi movie playing like a total non-Allison Janney character.
I love
just
that. Well,
I love
her. Veins.
I love it. Yeah.
Oscar nominated. She was in I, Tonya. She got the nod for that movie.
I think
movie.
She got the Oscar for
that
movie.
Oh, maybe she won. Oops. Okay, yeah.
She's got the E. She's got the O. She's got to get the T. She's got to. Sure. Come on. She knows Aaron Sorkin. Sorkin, just put her in freaking, have her play the Jack Nicholson character in like
one
A Few Good
the
Men.
Cuckoo's Nest. Oh yeah, or that one. Whichever.
She the Shining, the play, the Broadway musical.
Yeah, she can do both. She's got the range, you know?
And I'm sure she can do an audiobook and get the G. She needs to be EGOTed.
Yeah, she's goated,
EGOTed.
She's fab and she's been fab for a while. And we love a tall dame, don't we?
She's just
she's
fantastic.
Six feet tall.
Everyone's really good in this movie. Like I was even saying beforehand, like I feel like John David Washington's a really interesting actor because in a lot of movies, I feel like he plays kind of like an audience cipher character who is a little bit stoic and you kind of like put a lot of, you put your emotion onto him and he's a little bit of a blank slate. And I found that that's an interesting comparison to his father, Denzel Washington, who's right. such a charismatic actor and like known for these really memorable performances.
Yeah.
And
scene stealer.
But in this movie, I was like, man, shit, maybe I was wrong about John David. Not that it was like a critique of John David Washington. It was just an observation about the types of roles he was playing. This was like a really charismatic performance. I was like, oh, there's shades of Denzel in this. Like, I see it. It was a lot more of a charismatic performance rather than him being kind of like the stoic action lead guy, which I felt like he had been doing. But he was really strong in it. The young girl who plays the little robot in it is great. This is just exactly like, this movie was just like made in a lab for me with like the how it was shot, the visual effects, all of the world building stuff. I loved this movie. I'm probably going to see it again. Wow. I don't think it's for everybody. Like, I bet the Venn diagram of like people who listen to Hey Julie and people who appreciate like hard sci-fi movies is probably right. not like a circle. But if you're into that kind of stuff, you know, it, like go see this. Check movie. It's great. Yeah.
Well, I'm hearing good things. So I'm glad to hear that tracks with the other stuff I've been hearing. Let's see if there's any other questions or comments. There was Lexi Center on Twitter called out that Julie Chen Moonves did a get ready with me, a behind the scenes get ready with me. With I haven't watched this yet. Yeah.
I'm watching it on mute right now.
But I'm not surprised. Julie's really dipping her toe into being more online, or maybe her intern is. I don't know. Whatever. Someone.
I think with maybe some of Julie's like opinions about the world, she's perhaps online too much.
That is true. You know what?
That's true. Amen,
Can I just ask? What's up? And I really don't mean this to sound insensitive.
What?
What's up with like white suburban moms being so concerned about like themselves getting trafficked? This is like the new cause du jour.
Okay. Do we have another hour right now?
I'm not trying to make light. I think trafficking obviously is very bad. I don't want it to happen to anyone. But isn't it? And I might be speaking completely out of my
ass. Cynthia, mom, 49 in like, Memphis, Tennessee. No one wants to traffic you. Sorry.
Yeah. I just am like, this is not, you are not the target. Like statistically, I don't think that you're at risk, you know, the way a lot of women and children are. So
there's a lot of people who like, I find on like, you know, like TikTok or Instagram reels or whatever. There's a lot of people who like, their whole persona is that they're always like millimeters away from being like kidnapped or something like that. And it's like, I just checked into the Holiday Inn hotel at the Denver airport or whatever. And immediately someone tried breaking into my hotel room and they were sticking a hanger up underneath the door, trying to pull down the door and undo the deadbolt from like... Sorry, but that did not happen. That right, just didn't happen. That's your husband just doing that on the other side of the wall. Like
he forgot
it just didn't. And like, there are people who have these accounts and they're like, oh, I just checked into this hotel and here's I just checked into this Airbnb and there's a hidden camera pointed at where I get naked in the bathroom. And it's like, you put that there because this, you are generating engagement off of this content. So you are staging all of this stuff. I believe right. all these people are liars, but there are people who are watching it and they're like, oh shit, I do have to be worried. Like, there are cameras in every single Airbnb, every single van is a trafficker van. And right. I can't park next to a van in a parking lot because they're going to open the slide door and take me, a 55 year old like karate teacher, and put her in there. But I know karate. I'm going to punch their heads off. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. There's been an explosion of it. Is it because of that movie, The Sound of Freedom? Like that was
oh,
like,
God.
That pushed it into the center of the conversation.
This has been a thing for a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I just think it's like,
I don't know why I got on this. Sorry. I just need to do a quick check.
Do I seem like I don't appreciate that you brought this up? I would like have a lot to, it's something I think about, but I don't have the proper venue to talk about it. Oh wait, yeah. I have a Big Brother podcast.
I recognize that I'm very privileged and that I live in Canada. So maybe that's why I'm not worried about this. I have a lot of worries in my life. You know what you should be worried about? Your kid getting hit by a car. Like, you don't need to worry about necessarily your kid getting stolen, taken, and trafficked. I'm not trying to say that trafficking is not a big deal and bad thing. Obviously, it is. But I was just saying, as a middle-aged woman, like, in either a city or in the suburbs, I really think you have other things to worry about.
Nobody's coming for you. Nobody is.
No one's making a big, like, strategic plan.
And whether it's, like, trafficking stuff or just, like, watching the news, like...
Oh, yeah, the news.
People just, like, watch the news, and if they don't live in a city, they just, like, think it's, like, horrifying. And, like, there's, like, literally, it's, like... Anytime I...
Don't, like, others.
I'll talk. I'm learning. I'm about to like go off on stuff I should not be saying.
All right, we're going to end the pod and Brett and I will talk. But thank you all so much for joining. You can always tweet at us. Hey, Julie, BB. Remember, this is a podcast about Big Brother. Hey, Julie, BB.
A Survivor podcast.
On Twitter.
It's a creator podcast.
You can.
Creator.
You can email us. Hey, Julie, Big Brother at gmail.com. And you can also join our Discord, which has been popping, lively discussions. And you know, you're always going to get me, Danny, asking, what time is the episode on again in there? So please join us. Why don't you? Thank you for listening.
I have horrible news.
Oh.
We might not have a podcast next week.
Oops.
We'll figure that out and put it in the Discord and put it in the Twitter, but be prepared. Be prepared. Okay. I don't know if we're going to pod next week.
Like Scar and the Lion King said, be prepared.
Shit, yeah. All right. We love you. Goodbye, everyone. Bye, Jeffy.
Bye, Julie.